Some history now about Afghanistan, reminding you, Kandahar City in Afghanistan, 500,000 residents try to go about their daily lives right now while U.S. troops, Afghan police, and Taliban fighters battle for territory. The city is a major training center, but it's long been a home base for the Taliban in Afghanistan. It was a troublesome flashpoint for the Soviets during their own unsuccessful occupation of Afghanistan. Joining us now with an update on what's going on in Kandahar City is Rod Nordland, foreign correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, joining us from a studio in Kabul, Afghanistan. Good morning, Rod.
Good morning.
So first of all, give us a visual sense of what Kandahar looks like if you were walking through the city. Is it a war zone? Is it a tense place with a backdrop of war? Or is it hard to actually find the NATO fighters and the Taliban soldiers?
No, you see plenty of signs of their presence. I mean, it's a big city, and it's sprawling, and it really depends on which area you're in. The area that I was in and kind of concentrated in, and this story is called Malajat in the southwestern quadrant of the city, which is kind of semi-rural but also heavily populated. And it's full of Afghan police and American troops now, some of them sleeping outside in the orchards and under the trees and in the fields to create what they say is going to be a permanent presence. This was the biggest stronghold of the Taliban in Kandahar, and they have indeed succeeded in chasing at least most of them out.
Now, chase out is a bit of a term of art here because they've been chased underground. Their presence is still evident to some in Kandahar. How is that being felt?
And not even so much underground in the same place, but underground elsewhere in the city. They've just simply left that neighborhood and gone to other neighborhoods. And they've managed to keep up the tempo of attacks and especially assassinations of anybody connected with the government or foreign forces. And they've kept that up just at the same kind of pace that we've seen for the last several weeks and couple months.
As you know, Rod Nordland, as a war correspondent, you get familiar with a certain kind of taxonomy of various sounds in a place like Kandahar, which identify certain things going on, whether it be the movement of NATO forces, the use of particular weapon systems, airplanes, missiles, smells, or even the sound of suicide bombings. How do you separate those sounds out and give us a sense of what we might hear in Kandahar if we were there right now?
Well, you hear explosions pretty regularly, usually in the distance, because the bombing, for the most part, is taking place outside the city itself. You hear what I can best describe as a kind of metallic vomiting sound, which is the A-10 attack, ground attack aircraft, which fires a Gatling cannon at an incredibly high rate of speed, and it's just about one of the scariest weapons in the aerial arsenal. And you hear that quite often. But again, that fighting is outside the city in the rural districts where there's a much more robust fight going on. In the city itself, the operations they've had have actually had no Taliban killed. And some prisoners, but not very many, while at the same time there's four or five assassinations going on every day.
Then if you, quiz civilians in Kandahar and also go to the military briefings at NATO headquarters, how is anyone measuring what's going on there, whether the Taliban is making progress, whether NATO is making progress, whether a sense of security might be restored in the city?
Well, General Petraeus was asked about Kandahar recently, and he said there's still a lot of work to be done, but there's progress. I don't think the military really shares with us the full scope of what they know about what's going on in Kandahar. In fact, some of the officers I talked to just flat out refused to discuss things like numbers of incidents and so on. I'm sure they do have their metrics, though, and I think it's something they're very concerned about, especially now when the surge is nearly complete and the tempo of the fighting is increasing all the time.
Well, then how would you describe the significance of this five-day operation that concluded at the end of August? Was it a practice run? Was it an opening salvo?
No, I describe it as squeezing the balloon. They've squeezed the balloon in one part of the city, and now they have a worse or at least as bad a problem in other parts of the city. It's going to take a lot more action on the ground to really change things, if they can.
you describe in your visit to the suburb outside of Kandahar there that this is a work in progress, that the Afghans are sort of learning to cope with what's going on here. And are security forces stepping into the breach?
They are. In fact, that particular operation took place at Afghan insistence, and it was literally, for once, really led by the Afghans and the Afghan police particularly. But they were backed up by the Americans, and they had overwhelming force, which is a good thing, because something like 10 to 20% of the policemen did not even have rifles. They were fresh recruits, fresh out of training, and hadn't been armed as yet.
And, you know, these issues we've talked about in Kabul before, where there's a certain amount of cynicism on the part of civilians in Afghanistan, either about the corruption of the government, the incompetence of the government, or the ferocity of the Taliban. I'm trying to get inside the heads of civilians in Kandahar. How do they view the Taliban? Are they welcoming? Are they intimidated by the Taliban? How do they view the NATO forces or the Afghan forces? As saviors, or as just like, well, these are the guys who are in control now. Keep your head down.
Yeah, I think that's the latter is probably the best description. The polls that have been done show a fairly small percentage, even in Kandahar, who want to see a return to Taliban government. At the same time, though, there's a lot of unhappiness with the government there, the Afghan government, with the level of corruption, and I think a lot of people just see the foreign forces as there to support this clique of former warlords and friends of the president and so on who are running the place.
So what do you think is next for Kandahar? We've seen your report about the operation that ended at the end of August.
Yes, and I think that's just the beginning. There'll be more operations like that. I think the tempo will increase gradually. Whether that'll be any more successful at really tamping them out, it's hard to say. There's also another very important component of the operation in Kandahar province is what they do to the districts around the city where the Taliban are much stronger. And there they've been having a much harder fight. The casualties are much higher on all sides. And how that plays out will be hard to say. You know, we've taken pretty serious American casualties there in the last month or so.
All right. The challenges in Kandahar and in the environs of that city, where really the center of the surge and NATO's attempt to control things in Afghanistan is going on. At the center of it all, Rod Nordland, foreign correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. He spoke to us from Kabul. Thanks, Rod.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.